What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. I have an insane episode for you guys today. Let me start out by saying what's up to everybody on the podcast, everybody from TikTok, and everybody in the chat. R. Kunkel, Larry D., John, Iron Lotus, Corporal, Eviana, Sam, what's up? Nice to see you. Seven and Buford. Seven, nice to see you in the chat. Welcome. How'd you find the channel here? I don't recognize your name from the chat. And as always, if you are listening on the podcast or TikTok or whatever it is, you can come join the chat on YouTube, 1800 Pacific Standard Time, Sunday through Thursday. So, Anthony Waters in the chat. Unbelievable. Welcome to the show. Let's do this. Educate us. Well, I'm going to, and I'm going to start by hitting you guys with the about yesterday. So really quick, about yesterday. I didn't want to leave you guys hanging. I know I ran out of here yesterday saying I had to go to a doctor's appointment for some routine medical stuff. Everything's fine. I just want to let you guys know I appreciate you bearing with me through yesterday's lightning round episode. And as a result of that episode, there's actually something that I wanted to come back to and address a little bit more, because this morning I got an email. I got an email, which I love. I get so excited when I get an email and it's like a real person, you know, and not just a promotional thing that I cannot seem to unsubscribe from or some other spam type thing. And it was from a friend of ours, and when I say ours, I mean my wife and I, who is stationed out in Virginia. And when I talked about the Fairfax Public School Privilege Bingo, he wrote me to say, you know, his family was exposed to that. His kids in school were exposed to that. Because if you guys don't know, Fairfax County is like Northern Virginia, where there are tons of military people stationed, military families and all that. So let me pop back over here really quick. I got to talk about this just this much more. So this is the Privilege Bingo that you're looking at on your screen right now from Fairfax County Schools, which made the news and made it onto the Scuttlebutt Show, because there's a square here for military kid. And the idea here is that these kids would play this bingo, and if they get a bingo, then they're privileged, and they would understand, they would have this self-awareness of their privilege. And military kid on there, and people go, well, how privileged are military kids really? Like, as if that's an easy thing to be. And yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, that email I got this morning from our friend, he had just returned from a 10-month deployment to Iraq, which is a story that many people can relate to. It's a story that affects tons, I mean most, if not overwhelming 90-plus percent of veterans have dealt with being deployed away from family and friends and loved ones and children and all that. When kids are born, birthdays, losing loved ones, all of that. But then I don't even know how to explain the military kid square. I'm not sure what kind of privilege they're alluding to. The only thing I could come up with was maybe free healthcare. But, you know, certainly that cannot be something to view as a negative, because that healthcare is the outcome of the contract that you sign with the government. That's part of that's holding up their end of the bargain for the selfless service of the active duty member. Now, the more I thought about this, though, the more I realized that what this story really is about kids getting bullied in school by teachers. Because how do you justify asking a kid in their classroom, around their peers, to identify their sexual orientation as if that's something you should be asking kids to disclose to their class? Or how about their religion? How about if their parents are divorced or not? Because I come from a pretty messed up family. I come from a pretty messed up background. And I'll tell you guys one thing. When I went to school, I was hiding from my home. All right? School was an escape from a terrible home. And the last thing I would want to do was talk about my deceased parents, divorced family, my mental health, my disabilities. Kids have disabilities. They have invisible disabilities that maybe they don't want their classmates to know. So imagine you don't check the never lost a loved one box. Everyone's going, who'd you lose? You don't check the able-bodied box. What's your disability? You don't check the heterosexual box. You don't think that that opens kids up to harassment or, you know, exposure to some to negative outcomes? Schools have, at least when I went to school, I hope that they still do, counselors, therapists, nurses, places you can go for help if you're dealing with these kinds of things. But to ask kids to disclose this kind of stuff in front of their peers, in front of their classmates, is really just them getting bullied by their own teachers. So for all the military families in Fairfax County, and I want to let you guys know that there are many who send their kids to Fairfax County schools, I hope you're all okay out there, because that is one of the worst things that I've heard in a long time. And it kept me up last night. It kept me up. I thought it was absolutely sick. Let me check in with the chat here really quick, and we'll get to today's stories. And I have so many stories, guys. I have some stories today that are going to leave your head spinning. Your bell is going to be rung at the end of today's episode. We've got, let's see. Buford says, although you probably don't want to be a reaction channel, I would do some reactions to Tom McDonald, Ryan Upchurch, and Adam Calhoun. I could check all that stuff out and see what I do. I haven't done a reaction video in a long time, actually. Jason, what's up? Nice to see you. Ancient Neophyte, Doc said you're okay yesterday. I'm okay. I just am dealing with a little medical stuff, but it's nothing serious. So thank you, guys. Let's see. Did you hear about the recent report that when the Marines returned fire after the suicide bomb at Kabul Airport, no one was firing at them? Yes, I've heard that. I also heard immediately after the... Eric, this is in response. So I'll address this really quick because I was looking at this. There was a news report out recently that the Marines at the Kabul Airport after the suicide bomb, suicide vest went off, returned fire at nothing because nobody was shooting at them. But also I heard reports in the days following that, that Marines at multiple locations were involved in a troops in contact situation and that insurgents were killed in the shooting. So I think that there's more to unpack there, and I'm not really sure what the facts are right now, so I'm not really covering it. Iron Lotus says, I wish this was a joke. Never really get to see my dad or mom, but I guess I am privileged. One Grandma Sam says, yep. MC 100, John left scratching his head. So we got to get into the show today because I've got so many stories that if I don't get moving, we might not get to them all. And the first story of today is this. Seven sailors injured in a landing mishap aboard carrier Carl Vinson, including some had to get medevaced to higher levels of care. But thankfully, the pilot who ejected was recovered, and there's no fatalities reported. So, seven sailors injured when an F-35 Charlie Joint Strike Fighter, which is also on their maiden deployment of these aircraft, had a landing mishap on the deck of the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson, the latest in a string of aviation accidents to plague the carrier's air wing during its current West Pacific deployment, or a WestPac, you might hear it called. When I was on the Reagan, we had a landing mishap with a jet, an F-18, who was coming in to land, because, you know, on the aircraft, there are these arresting gear, the arresting wires, and on the back of the aircraft is this hook, and the aircraft smashes into the flight deck violently. The hook lands on one of these three, and I believe there's a backup wire. They're called the wires. And then that hook breaks the aircraft as the wire slacks out onto the deck of the ship. So this is an insane process, and it's insanely dangerous. And the flight deck of the aircraft carrier is one of the most dangerous places to work in the world. When I was on the Reagan, we had an F-18 coming in to land, apparently hooked, but didn't think that he hooked. And if the aircraft misses the wires, they will do a touch and go. They'll wave off and take back off to execute another approach to try to land again. But he had hooked. So when he tried to take off again, he crashed back into the flight deck. There was a fire on the F-18 with the pilot still in the cockpit. It was this whole crazy experience. And it just goes to show you how dangerous working on a flight deck of an aircraft carrier is. It says here, the pilot safely ejected and was rescued by a military helicopter. One more piece of flight deck aircraft carrier information here. The first aircraft to take off during flight operations and the last one to land is a helicopter whose mission is to recover people who go overboard. Crashed aircraft, people fall off the flight deck. Their job is to rescue those people out of the water. So it sounds like a rescue swimmer from one of these, probably a 60 Hilo, an H-60, MH-60 Hilo, went in and rescued the pilot who had just ejected into the ocean, which must have been terrifying because once you go into the ocean off a carrier, if you're not rescued right away, your odds of survival go down dramatically. Three sailors on the deck required medical evacuation to Manila in the Philippines, and four others were treated by medical personnel on board the ship. They're saying everyone's in stable condition as of right now. Officials did not immediately respond to questions regarding whether the pilot was one of the sailors evacuated from the ship or how the mishap occurred. But the pilot is in stable condition and the mishap is under investigation. So, you know, because everything with that is going to be labeled an aircraft mishap, an aviation mishap. I assume I don't know what happened with the aircraft. I don't know if the aircraft ultimately went overboard or what the deal is, but it sounds like we're dealing with a pretty terrifying, traumatic experience for the people up there on the flight deck. Believe me, your confidence is shaken after seeing something like that. When you're standing feet away from jets as they land and take off or launch and recover from an aircraft carrier, it's some stressful stuff. It's very stressful. Jay Alba, what's up? HSC-4 is attached to that carrier. Hey, what's going on, Alba? How are you? Are you the Alba that I know? Are we people who have worked together in the fleet. I just want to make sure because I've seen people with recognizable names in the chat and end up being somebody that I don't know. Let's see. What's going on in the chat? One Grandma Sam says, I can see Marines shooting at the fire on a flight deck. Not too far-fetched. That's actually really funny. Carrier landing equals control crashes. Yep, absolutely. Corporal, this happened in the last 24 hours. I've heard carrier ops involve pilots mashing full power just before arresting those cables. Is that true? Yes, John, that is true. That's absolutely true. They land. You have to land at full speed because if you miss, you have to be able to take back off. So that's why you have to land at high power. Golden Falcons. One Grandma Sam, do you know any Marines seriously injured like this? Oh, conversation between you guys. Ever seen the guy who got sucked into an engine but lived because of his helmet stopping the engine happened in the Gulf War? I have seen that video. That's a video that you see when you're going through aviation training in the Navy. They showed us that video and all the other flight deck mishaps. Alba, well, it's great to see you. Very nice to see you. So welcome to the channel. There are a series of videos that you see about flight deck mishaps. Maybe the most famous, most historic of all time was the USS Forrestal when missiles went off on the flight deck, creating a massive fire, massive destruction. Almost John McCain was almost killed in the Forrestal mishap. And you learn about all these dangers of the flight deck. Arresting wires, breaking, snapping. There's all kinds of stuff. All right. Can't get too hung up on this because I've got lots more stories to get to. We've got some fun stuff today and some serious stuff. And we're not through the serious stuff yet. Up to 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert in case of Russian move on Ukraine. So this is getting pretty real. We've got military units notified to prepare themselves for possible deployment in response to a Russian incursion into Ukraine. The units, which were not named, have not been given orders to deploy, but to shorten their recall time. So this would be like, hey, everyone has to stay within 24 hours of their duty station. You cannot go on leave. You cannot go out of bounds, they call it. There's all this stuff, and it's very stressful. He said some units are already on a 10-day timeline that would prep themselves to be ready in 5 days. None of the units on heightened alert are based in Europe. But you got to imagine, if you're military in Europe right now, you got to be going, well, we're on the hook for something, right? The units are being notified, he added, and the Pentagon will have more info on them following that process. So this is just the most recent update on activity in the Ukraine-Russia tensions that the military is kind of activated. You can pretty much rest assured that some military are already over there. You've probably got some SF, you've probably got some CIA, things like that, already in the AO. I don't know about any of that officially, but I would just assume that stuff's happening. Kind of feeling out the terrain and the vibe in the area to prep. At the same time as that happens, we get this news. SOCOM boss tests positive for COVID-19. So the person in charge of all of SOCOM Special Operations Command, Army General Richard Clark, and is his name Army? Army General Army Richard Clark? I have to actually fact check this because if this guy's name is Army, which is not included in the title of his photo here, but just in the writing on Military Times, wouldn't it be great if the person in charge of SOCOM, his name is Army General Army? That would be pretty epic. He's working from home this week after testing positive for COVID-19 on Sunday. He's fully vaxxed, boosted, probably the whole deal. He's probably fine. They say he has mild symptoms and that he is fully able to perform his duties, but you can be sure that he has some kind of second in command that could take over for him if need be. And with all this stuff going on in Ukraine, it's probably not a good time for anybody to get COVID or probably time to go do some risk assessment and go, is somebody with mild symptomatic Omicron really worth losing off the battlefield when we're about to have a conflict with a peer adversary or a near peer adversary? Just saying. At the same time as this, I read news this morning that in Germany, if you're stationed there and you had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you are no longer considered vaccinated if that's the only shot that you've had. You have to go get a few more to be considered vaccinated. So we're handicapping ourselves. We're crippling our readiness over people with asymptomatic COVID at a time when we're in a political military standoff with a near peer adversary. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but you guys can leave what you think in the comments and I'll go check it out. So let me, speaking of the comments, let me catch up here. Jay Honey, what's up? OG Litness, what's up? Yeah, the Forrestal is crazy. Still gives me chills. I couldn't imagine being on the Forrestal when that happened. Strip alert time, Sam says. Let's see. John McCain. My ship was the last ship to snap a cable, Corporal says. That must have been, were you up there? Or were you on a flight deck when that happened? Who are the guys who could be called? It has to be recon, baby, Nugget said, future Marine. This is getting pretty serious. The joint military, Iran, China, Russia drill, Ukraine, Taiwan, Iran wants to destroy Israel and get nukes. Yeah, president seems weak. I agree completely. We've got a time when Iran is swearing attacks on America and launching suicide drones into Baghdad and rockets. We've got Russia on the border of Ukraine massing troops and supplies. We've got our own people on readiness, probably ships out there steaming around trying to figure out what's going on, running flight operations. Stressful. There's always a regular rotation of forces that come through Europe every 9 months. I did one of those tours, UDP, UDP deployments. At the time I got vax, J&J was the only one offered. Interesting that that now they're saying it just doesn't count anymore. Crazy, crazy, crazy. No, I had just switched to Army, Corporal says. It's probably good that you aren't up there. I know everyone wants to be there when that bad thing happens, but honestly, you're probably better off that you aren't. You don't want somebody else to do it. I understand the sentiment is when something bad is happening, you don't want somebody else to take your hit. But I never, looking back on things that have already happened, I don't go, man, I wish I could have been there when that horrible thing happened. Everything happens the way it's supposed to. China and India are shooting at each other from the borders. I did not know about that. There is a lot of China-India conflict too. Moving away from global politics and into more local military news, which you guys know I do love to cover. I love my local military news. We've got some chaos here. Just pure anarchy around the military veteran world. And this one, you know, let me start by saying, we give gate guards a lot of flack. But gate guards have a very hard job, okay? Imagine you're a gate guard, you're a E3 in the military, you're at your first command, you're like, no, gate guard, you're a gate guard. Good luck. Have fun with that. You go TAD, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a machinist, mate. I don't know how to guard this gate. Why do I have this rifle? And they go, tough luck, you're a gate guard, guard the gate, allow no one to pass without proper authority, okay? Take charge of this post. And all government property in view. You guys know I got my Blue Jackets manual right here, okay? So you're following your general orders, you're doing your thing, and it's your first day, and the first vehicle comes up to the gate, and they go, dude, I left my ID in the computer. I was checking my email. I had to run home, family emergency. I work at, you know, Squadron 33, and I just need to get back there and get my CAC. You know what I'm saying? My CAC's in the computer. You know what I'm talking about. And the gate guard goes, damn it, day one. All right, go ahead. That's, you know, that's the get out of jail free card. Your ID's in the computer. They let them go and you go, I'm a total failure. I just failed as a gate guard. Just totally failed as a gate guard. Let them go. Day one. And then every once in a while, this happens. Army says, man who breached Fort Knox gate tried to ram police and then was shot dead. Hoo-yah, gate guards. Military police fatally shot a man who breached the main gate at Kentucky's Fort Knox. What an idiot. Fort Knox is the strong one. It's like, it's the one known for being impossible to break into, you psychopath. Then, after breaching the gate, tried to run over officers. The shooting happened early Sunday when the man drove toward Fort Knox. Police officers after initially fleeing from them through the gate, which is near the U.S. Bullion Depository, you know, where the gold is. News outlets reported citing a statement from the Army Post. Officers originally responded to a call late Saturday of a suspicious person outside the gate, but the man fled in a vehicle through the Chaffee Gate and onto the post when officers arrived. So they were probably stalking, looking for a weak point to get in. This is some National Treasure stuff right here. When the pursuit ended, officers spent 90 minutes trying to verbally de-escalate the situation before the man attempted to ram and strike officers with his vehicle, and officers fired at him. He was declared dead at the scene. Whew, damn. Officials say he was 41 years old, not affiliated with the military, and his identity was not released. They do go on to say, I know a lot of people are probably wondering this, although a motive is unknown, there is no initial indication that this incident was extremist or terrorist related. But that's what they said last week at the temple where the Jewish people were held hostage in Texas. The officers involved were placed on routine leave pending an investigation. No further information was immediately released. That's not easy. It's not easy as a gay guard to be in that situation, to have to choose to use lethal force. They might have been military police. They might have been civilian contractors. It could have been a combination. Usually, there is a combination of civilian contractors, civilian people working in a military police capacity, and active duty military police who overall have authority over the installation because it's government property, and federal military troops, like the commanding officer of a base, has overall responsibility for that property, that military property. So it's rough. Shout out to the gate guards. I hope you guys are all doing okay out there after something like that. It must have been really shaking people up. And then you'll probably look at every vehicle differently as it approaches the gate after that, I'm sure. So what's going on in the comments here? Let's see. Sam says, I love my gate guards. Always telling them have a good one. Hope they never thought I was being sarcastic. Yeah, I always try to be nice to the gate guards. McRaven had a great story about this. Not this one, but a situation rather. Oh, I'm curious about that. Gate guards are underrated. Yep. The gate guards became all that they can be. Absolutely. Absolutely. Shout out to the FBI's hostage rescue team for taking care of that hostage taker. Yeah, HRT. That's a badass unit there in the FBI. I can just imagine seeing the guard in slow motion as his eyes light up and he starts drooling for some action. Ooh, you know, I feel you on that. I understand what you're saying, Buford, but at the same time, it's like, careful what you wish for, you know? After they discharge their firearm, I hope they are prepared to justify it, it sounds like they were. But that moment's extremely stressful. So if you're thinking, oh, please give me a reason. Please give me a reason. I feel like that person might be more inclined to maybe jump the gun, use lethal force a little too early, maybe get themselves in some trouble and cost somebody a life that didn't have to be lost. Whereas somebody who is terrified of the moment that they would have to use lethal force, but prepared to, is probably the person that I would want in charge. Does that make sense? Out of curiosity, let's see. MC says, McRaven had a meeting with the president and she wouldn't budge because he wasn't on the list, the gate guard. After a long delay, she finally got the clearance and then let him through. He later awarded her a coin for following process and not falling into being bullied when they pulled rank. I love that. Love that. Sometimes leaders will be in that situation, and then when they don't get their way, they could be a little, you know, poo butt, and then they go back and go, I was just testing you. It was all a test the entire time, and you passed. That's a good quick out. The base security at the base where we went to SEER was terrible, Jay Honey. Then it must have been easy. Do you mean where you were held captive? It must have been easy to escape them. So I found this story here. I can't believe it's not making bigger waves yet. Maybe I'll break it to you guys here on the Scuttlebutt Show first. But this one, this is the type of story that makes me sad. This is the type of story that I think back to some of my greatest shipmates, you know? And I think this could have been anybody that I knew, anybody that I worked with. And I think we got to rally and get behind people like this. If this story is true and the investigation is going on, we gotta stand alongside in unity about this kind of stuff. Lesbian West Virginia Air National Guard member, 37 years old, sues Army and Air Force claiming senior male leader says she should grow her hair, wear makeup, and ultimately appear more feminine before ultimately withdrawing the job that she was applied for and approved for. Is that insane or what? And also, this is from the Daily Mail. Learn how to write headlines. It's supposed to be like six words. A lesbian member of the West Virginia Air National Guard is suing the military, claiming she was passed over for two promotions and after a male superior made sexist and homophobic comments, including asking another woman to coach her on appearing more feminine. Can we take a second to go appreciate that this accusation even exists in 2022? Like, whether you agree or don't agree or how you feel about this, or this doesn't, you know, make you feel any type of way, or you go, well, the investigation's got to take place, which is true. If somebody in charge should have a little more awareness, read the room, man. Read the room. Kristen Kingry, 37. She's tall, has short hair, and doesn't wear jewelry or makeup, according to a lawsuit filed against the Army and Air Force in November. By the way, badass suing the military. She joined the Air National Guard in 2007 and was hired for a civilian human resources position while she was still deployed in Qatar, around 2019. When she returned to the U.S., she learned that her superior, Vice Wing Commander Colonel Michael Cadel, had asked a female lieutenant colonel to counsel and encourage her to grow her hair, begin using makeup, and ultimately appear more feminine. Oh my God. And she's going for human, and she's going out for the human resources job. The job offer was withdrawn and another application went nowhere. Meanwhile, the lawsuit alleges that she endured more harassment, such as rumors that she was transitioning from female to male and retaliation for filing a formal complaint. Kingery still works at the same base in Charleston, West Virginia with the same superiors, and the case could take as long as 2 years to work its way through the court. The National Guard has hired an outside firm to determine whether discrimination or harassment took place. Here's a photo of her in uniform. And here's a photo of the potential accused supervisor, Colonel Michael O. Cadle, who allegedly was the one who made these comments. He's got a nice, you know, photo. Very, very nice photo. Whoever's doing that, whoever that photographer is, I got to get some headshots done. Kingery filed her lawsuit in the Southern District of Virginia on November 23rd. The lawsuit named Christine Wormuth, the Secretary of the Army, Frank Kendall, Secretary of the Air Force. Both branches run the National Guard in the base where she works. The 14-year veteran is asking the National Guard to appoint her to the position she was initially offered, along with back pay and compensatory damages. Maybe she's entitled to some compensation at the end of this, but you got to be careful when you make a moral stand and a cash grab at the same time, if that's what this is. I think you got to balance the two. The 19-page complaint details the number of discriminatory acts that she tried to endure and tolerate before filing an EO complaint. She was deployed to Qatar between August 2018 and March 2019, so a regular length deployment. And she previously deployed to Iraq in 2009, where she served with Navy SEALs, but it doesn't say in what capacity. She was offered, accepted a position as human resources specialist in January 2019 while she was still deployed. But when she returned to West Virginia, she learned of a meeting with Cadle that Cadle, the colonel, had with Lieutenant Colonel Kelly Ambrose. Kingery told the Daily Beast that Cadle told Ambrose to advise Kingery to grow my hair out and start wearing makeup because if I didn't, it would be detrimental to my career in the West Virginia Air National Guard. Hey, do you think that you could stop telling women if they're not hot, you're going to fire them?
No. No, I don't think I will.
Thanks, Cap, for clearing that up. I'm glad that we were able to make sense of the situation here. That's the answer. That's the answer that old Cadle gave. No. No, I don't think I will. I had heard of other females with short hair having issues with people saying these things, but I don't know that progressed to the extent that mine did. Kingery is often perceived as masculine in nature. Or badass. Ambrose was completely appalled and angered by Cadle's comments, Kingery told Daily Beast. So that's the lieutenant colonel who apparently agrees with Kingery here. She knew I was within regulations and did not understand why this was so important. When I found out about the comment, I was truly disheartened. Here in the Daily Beast is the actual filing, the complaint here. If you want to, you can go find this article and read the entire complaint, but we're hitting the wave tops here in the interest of time. The lawsuit states, Kingery got so many complaints about her hair being short that she started and continues to carry the Air Force rules around with her to prove she's not in violation. Well, that's what any good officer should be doing. Any good officer, particularly in the Navy, should walk around always with the complete hardcover unabridged Blue Jackets manual. So that way, when they confront a junior sailor, they can flip out the correct flag, Bravo flag, Romeo flag, and share some information and correct that whatever discrepancy they are coming after them for. I'm just kidding. Please don't do that. She said, this is about what they think a lesbian female should look like. It leaves me in such disbelief. They have made this my life. Whenever I discuss it, I am at a loss for words. It was completely unacceptable comment and a completely unacceptable situation. So just to clear this up one more time, her grooming standards were well within uniform regulations here. Yet her supervisor said, if she doesn't look more ladylike with makeup and long hair and appear more conventional, it would be detrimental to her career. And if that is an accurate quote, I would say that is enough to make this a legitimate equal opportunity complaint. The article goes on to talk about the specifics of her service and of the complaint, but we're going to leave it at that. So what do you guys think? Is she in the, assuming, let's take it, let's just leave this on the table for a second. Her complaints are legitimate and true. Is she right to sue over the position that she was denied? And is she morally right? Is it true that it's just straight up wrong to go out there and tell a female coworker that they should get hotter if they want to keep working here? You guys tell me in the comments down below. I'd love to hear it. So let me for a second catch up on the comments. One Gram of Sam agreeing that the title of that article was a little long. Yeah. That has equal opportunity complaint written all over it, John says. Yes, absolutely. What's going on? Let's see. This reminded me of the sexual harassment documentary on HBO. What's that called? Look whose career it ultimately was detrimental to. Ooh. Hey, that's a good quote. I think at the end of the day, we're going to find out whose career it was actually detrimental to. I love that ancient neophyte from the top rope. Yes, love that. Let's see. If that comment was made, that was inappropriate. Yes, yep, absolutely. Absolutely very true, in my opinion. That was not appropriate. Not good at all, especially considering, ultimately, she wasn't doing anything wrong. Speaking of someone who, in my personal belief, wasn't doing anything wrong, here's our next story right here, which is kind of wild. Louisiana disabled veteran fired by Academy of Sports for trying to stop a theft. And we've got the video here. So this is, let's spread the word about this. Can we share this story? An Academy Sports and Outdoor store in Lafayette has fired one of its store managers for violating what is evidently one of the strictest company policies. Do not make any attempt to stop a theft in progress in one of their stores. Before we even get into this, I, and I'm sure many of you, have heard stories of people who work at a store trying to stop a robbery and then getting fired for it. I think ultimately what that boils down to is the company's liability. The company is so fearful of liability and responsibility and insurance over a lawsuit that they will fire their own people who care enough about the company and the well-being, economically to intervene in a theft, that they will throw them under the bus, fire them, and say that they're wrong for trying to stop a theft in progress. But in this instance, the dismissed Academy manager seen in a recently gone viral video, which we're going to watch here in a second, was not only an employee with more than 10 years of outstanding service to the company, but a disabled veteran who worked for Academy in three different states, a long-term loyal employee after she was medically discharged from the Army when she suffered a shoulder injury. So we've got the video right here. Let's watch the video and see what we can make out here. Ooh. That was very professional, I think. I don't know. What do you guys think? That seemed like the least amount of force. She grabbed the bag. She didn't grab the person. She grabbed the merchandise. What did she get for it? Punched in the face. And then the people left. And they're going to fire. And, you know, maybe she like, you know, gave her a push on the shoulder to you know, prompt her to leave. But they're going to fire her over that. We got to watch this. We got to watch it again. It's going to go to Instagram here. Let's see. Can we? Yeah, it's going to go to Instagram. But let's watch it again. I want to see it one more time. I don't know. Do you guys think she should have been fired for that, for this disabled veteran stopping a shoplifter? Do you think it was appropriate for that company to fire her? I don't think so. Leave a comment if you guys think that was appropriate or a total mistake. It says here, moments earlier as the face-to-face between the employee and the woman with the loaded buggy began to escalate, the manager, disabled veteran, asked the woman to leave. It was then that the customer got violent. She grabbed a large backpack from a nearby clothing display and swung it towards the manager. The manager grabbed it, attempting to defend herself, and was punched by the customer. The woman stormed out of the store, sans buggy, it would appear, without the buggy, while the manager, veteran, tended to her bloodied mouth. So she was bleeding, ended up with a bloodied lip. Oh, geez. She then reported the incident to her supervisor and the Lafayette police, and a week later, she was fired. Like many retailers these days, Academy's policy is for workers to allow thieves to leave the store with the merchandise unchallenged. And sadly, more and more thieves know it and they're taking advantage. So, man, very sad. Very sad. total bad press, in my opinion. You guys let me know what you think down in the comments, but I think that's a huge mistake by Academy Sports. It sounds like they lost a good, loyal employee who worked for them for many years in many locations and sided with a shoplifter who was trying to steal, you know, non-essential. This isn't food. This isn't medicine. Trying to steal sporting equipment, sporting goods. So I think it's a terrible shame that that's what it's come to. What a cowardly move by the company. Academy Sports, not a Bravo Zulu at all. What's going on in the comments? I hope I answered that, Sam. It was Academy Sports. What is that picture of that person's face? I don't know. That was something unrelated. And she was assaulted. And it doesn't say if the person was ever charged for the assault either. Probably not. Probably just got a free punch in. Unbelievable. Scuttlebutt, since you're a Navy veteran, what is the Navy doing to prevent future sexual harassment? Well, they lean in pretty hard at that. There's tons of training. I'll say that. Training, safety stand downs, things like that. One Grandma Sam says, how is that fair? You were not paid to risk your life for that company. Hate that company already. Quotes, use your veteran powers. Absolutely. The company cares more about liability than having good employees. Very sad. Yep. Yep. It's really a bummer. Really a bummer. And, you know, if we're being honest, there's more. More people trying to steal out there. More theft. More crime to talk about. And that's our next story right here. He defrauded more than 100 disabled veterans of benefits and now is going to prison, which he absolutely deserves. Jamar Mason, 27, of Snellville, Georgia, was sentenced to more than 6 years in federal prison after defrauding more than 100 disabled veterans and Social Security beneficiaries of over $1 million, according to a January 19th press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida. Florida man. Mason, who's also goes by Starmax with two X's because he thinks he's a supervillain or something. You mean Jamar Mason? Is that your name? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? I only answer to Starmax. Like, what is this? Pled guilty to conspiring to commit bank and wire fraud in November 2021. His full sentence laid forth by the judge is 78 months of federal imprisonment and in 5 years probation, plus has to repay $1,300,000 in change in restitution. Over 5 years, from May 2012 to July 2017, the fraud scheme sort of saw more than $1.8 million in benefits stolen, even with several of the fraud attempts blocked. Mason and six co-conspirators would illegally obtain veterans' personal information through unspecified means. They would then use this information to open bank accounts with the Bank of America. Man, that doesn't sound like the Bank of America to me. In addition to ordering prepaid debit cards in victims' names, court documents also show that after forging documents that directed the Department of Veteran Affairs and Social Security Administration to direct deposit benefits into the accounts, Mason and his co-conspirators withdrew the funds from banks in South Florida and Georgia. So to sum this up, what he did was identity fraud, identity theft to cause the VA to deposit the benefits set aside for those veterans into fraudulent accounts. A large portion of those funds were sent to the main architect of the scheme, who according to the case here, is Rockcliffe Burchell of Jamaica. So the main mastermind here is from Jamaica. No woman, no cry, I guess. Burchell was charged with one count of conspiracy to commit bank and wire fraud, in addition to one count of aggravated identity theft, and the case is ongoing. I actually want to say, I want to redo that joke, and I want to say they're going to need a redemption song. How was that? Was that better? More than 100 disabled veterans and Social Security beneficiaries fell victim to the scheme, but in each case, the federal government fully reimbursed each victim. So at least there's some positive outcome here that the government said, oh yeah, we jacked that up. We should have maybe done more of our due diligence to see that you're a real person. Here's your actual money. The case was investigated by Transnational Elder Fraud Strike Force, which, wait, can we talk about this for a second? This is the Transnational Elder Fraud Strike Force is like the Justice League and Starmax is like Brainiac. You know what I mean? Like we've got Thanos and the Avengers here. You don't mess with a Transnational Elder Fraud Strike Force. We will, wherever there is fraud, we shall be there to investigate the, I'm ruining it. Oh, God, I took it too far. I always do this. Damn it. So anyway, what a piece of trash. What a just a dumpster fire of a person. Again, stealing from veterans, which you know I do not appreciate on this show. And every time I see something like that, I'm going to call it out and put them on notice that they're not going to slip past the Scuttlebutt Show. We're going to find you. We're going to put you out there in the public, and we're going to hold you accountable publicly for defrauding veterans. I don't roll like that. Not one bit. All right, what's going on here? What is going on here in the comments? Annual online training is the key to making our military a better place. That's right. Lock them up and throw away the key, MC says. Yeah, I agree. StarMax sounds hella sus. I agree. Finally completing my checkout process from the military. Sir, your records have already been sent to the VA. Damn it. That's a good comment from Sam. Thank you guys for the good comments. You know, I already know what you guys are going to say. Nikki did it. This was already on Nikki MGTV's channel. I don't care. I've got my own thoughts. And I'm going to share them with you here. Because we've got this story. Marines to halt separations and reprimands for razor bumps. Only in the Marine Corps can they say, beards make you completely non-lethal. Unless you're Special Forces, then you need a beard to be lethal. Somehow that makes sense in the military. So this story broke that the Marine Corps has finally come to their senses as I believe the last branch out there to not recognize PFB or pseudofolliculitis barbae, which we've done entire episodes on this channel. You guys can find those by seeking out, you know, Military Shave PFB on the channel. That's commonly known as razor bumps and results in the inflammation of the face and neck when a person shaves. You guys have seen this. It looks excruciating. It does. I feel so bad when I see somebody with this and they're made to shave and their face breaks out or their skin breaks out. It could be on the you know, haircut, hairline area as well. I feel the pain. I have dermatitis and I can just imagine what that must be like. I'm sure it's much worse. So it was that they could kick people out for this because if you can't shave, how can you be a Marine if you can't shave? You can't do your job, but now they're saying you can. Last week, the Marine Corps announced that as of January 31st, a series of policy changes pertaining to PFB will take effect. Previously, commanders had the authority to recommend involuntary separation for Marines diagnosed with PFB and could base their recommendation solely on their diagnosis as the commander. Not as a doctor, but just in their opinion, that will no longer be the case. Also, under the new rules, neither a diagnosis of PFP nor treatment for it will make Marines subject to a 6105 counseling, a formal reprimand that can severely damage a service member's military career. Marines who have been diagnosed with a condition will no longer have to keep a copy of their medical waiver or shave chit on them as proof. Because even if you have, you know, a no-shave chit, you still get harassed constantly by people in the Navy. Shipmate, you got a no-shave chit? You got it on your person? Is it in your left breast pocket? Can you present it to me? Is it folded in four equal size folds? Let me look at it. You know what? This expires next week. Basically means it's already expired. I'm going to be giving you a counseling chit. I've got one of my pre-filled out counseling chits right here for no shave. Just take this, sign your name. Good luck. I'll be talking to your chief. It's crazy. It's crazy how much people have to deal with for just having a medical condition that makes it difficult for them to shave. It's so sad. Medical officers now finally have the approval to grant temporary or permanent no-shave chits. Previously, the medical officer can make a recommendation, but only the commanding officer can give one of those chits. Of course, I mean, who knows about medicine better than somebody who's been promoted in the military? I mean, that's the real truth. That's what we've learned in the last 2 years, is that to be an expert at medicine, all you have to do is get promoted within the military. It makes you basically like a super doctor. The changes were adopted in accordance with the Talent Management 2030 plan, which we've talked about. Some of that stuff's questionable, but this one makes sense. That's an overhaul of recruiting and retention aimed at remaking the Marine Corps into a service that more highly values experience and skills. The Corps will not amend any separation documents for Marines with PFP who separated from the service before January 31st, which was my first question. That was my first question upon reading this article the headline was, what about people who've already been kicked out? Do they get to come back in? Well, maybe not based on that alone, but maybe now they can, if they're young enough, if they're eligible, if they're healthy enough, they can go try to get back into the Marine Corps. And maybe that won't be disqualifying and they could just count it as a break in service or something. But overall, oh no, I revealed the final story early. Overall, I think that that the Marine Corps did something in the right direction. And we'll just see how that goes in the future. Let's see. Scuttlebutt, Star Max is Brainiac. Yes. Let's see. You know who took it too far? Those awkward dudes that you witnessed during speed dating. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Are you telling me that I never needed to dry shave in the cold? All because you need a gas mask to fit your face. Yeah. I hate seeing shaving profile soldiers always coming back from leave with their stuff lined up. Yeah, I also think that it's weird that that's a rule, because I would actually change that as well, replying to John's comment in the chat. It's weird that if you do have a no-shave chit, you're not allowed to make it look nice. You have to just let it go however it is, you know? I would allow people to line their beards up and make them look nice and groom them. Why wouldn't you want people to look their best? Let's see. Pre-filled out counseling chits. I bet the guy had the best peer evaluations. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe get to come back in. How's your PFT these days? Yeah, do you still have that 21-minute 3-mile? Thank you, Jason. I appreciate it. For everyone who witnessed a teaser, a spoiler of what the last story for today is going to be, we are upon the last story. It was a very full show, but we went kind of quick, huh? We might get out of here a few minutes early, and we'll talk about what we have coming up for the rest of the week. So everyone fantasizes about this. Don't lie. You have. I ask you now, if this happened to you, how would you react? Retired Army veteran who won $4 million in lottery got the numbers from a fortune cookie. Now that's a good fortune. The Mega Millions jackpot here. A 32-year-old Army veteran is $4 million richer after winning the Mega Millions lottery in North Carolina. Gabriel Fierro said he picked the lucky combination by following the advice of a fortune cookie he got from a Chinese restaurant in Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't usually play my fortune cookie numbers, but I tried them on a whim, he told the North Carolina Education Lottery. Because as you guys know, a lot of these lotteries, the money that the state makes goes into like education. It's one of the biggest programs that they fund. The 60-year-old retired master sergeant is a disabled combat veteran who served in Iraq. He bought the winning ticket online earlier in the week and found out via email he was a newly minted millionaire. Awesome. That's awesome. His wife initially thought the message was some sort of scam. Once they realized it was the real deal, the two of them ran around the house screaming. Fierro picked up his check from lottery headquarters Thursday. It came out to $2.8 million after taxes. That's awesome. So I'm just pure happiness for this guy. Just congratulations, all of that. You deserve it. You know, 60 years old, Iraq veteran, disabled veteran, combat veteran. Just good for you, man. Good for you. He said, we're going to buy some champagne on the way home, Fierro told lottery officials. The fortune cookie came from Charlotte's Red Bull restaurant. Hopefully they get a little windfall from this too, and everyone will be going there to get their numbers. Fierro and his wife eat there roughly once a week. Maybe they'll share some with them. What do you guys think? Would you share some with the restaurant? If you won the lottery, what would you do with the money? How would you react? What would you do? I just would want to hear that in the comments. Just tell me. I'm so curious. I don't know what I would do. I would probably live my life exactly the same and just put that money away and use it whenever I needed it and try not to do anything too crazy. Maybe a new car or something, but that's it. Nice feel-good story. That's what I'm talking about. What a way to end the show. What a way to end it. John's laughing. Let's see. Corporal says, wow. MC says, this is great. That disabled master sergeant deserves every cent of that, Sam says. Love it. Great story to finish on. Then the unknown family members start rolling in. That's true. That's frightening. What's his phone number? I have a business proposition for him. What a story, MC, celebrating. Yep. What a day. So you know what? We got a few minutes left till the end of the show. And I've been wanting to do something, which is I want to make, bear with me. If you guys want to bounce right now, I understand. I'm just going to try to do something real quick because that's the last story. Every day I upload these clips, the headlines to TikTok. And those TikToks do really well. I'm doing great on TikTok. If you guys aren't following me over there already, I don't know what you're doing. And I want to have some kind of sign-off for there to, Rambo, what's up? To remind people to come follow me on YouTube and subscribe. If we can get the 10,000 subscriber mark this year is the goal. So how about this? Let's try this. This is my TikTok outro. I've been wanting to do this. What's up, guys? Thanks for watching those clips. Make sure you go to the link in the bio and find me on YouTube and subscribe today so you don't miss the full stories. You can find them on YouTube as well as on your podcast listening app of choice. Thanks for checking that out, and I look forward to talking to you guys soon. How was that? Was that okay? I'm going to wait for a confirmation from the chat. That was the TikTok sign-off. You guys let me know if that works or not. Give employees bonuses. Yep. I would definitely be more of a philanthropist, but live comfortable as well. Corporal says he would buy the restaurant. Yes, that's a great idea, actually. That's a really good idea. Buy the restaurant. I love that. Super smart. All right, guys. We're going to wrap it up there. We're going to call it a day. I actually have a meeting at 12:15 my time or in about 20 minutes with somebody in regards to some Scuttlebutt Show business that I look forward to announcing with you all very soon. A lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool stuff coming up. With all that being said, in that case, I want to thank you guys for watching today's episode. You're my favorite. Love you guys. I'll be here for you every day this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of cool stuff coming up. Still working on the book and documentary. I just want you guys to know that it's going excellent. It's going excellent. So we'll be back tomorrow with another regularly scheduled episode. I look forward to talking to you all then. Check out links in the description on all ways to support the channel. You can find Scuttlebutt Show merch at Scuttlebutt Show or ScuttlebuttClothing.com. You can get this Moons Out Goons Out shirt that I'm wearing right now. You can become a patron. You can become a channel member by clicking that join button right below this video. Highly recommend you guys do that. If you watch every day here on the Scuttlebutt Show, I would appreciate you guys becoming members or patrons. That would be amazing. Amazing way to support the channel. With that said, I look forward to talking to all of you very soon. For now, that's the Scuttlebutt.